The moon lit their way as Sun Tan led them up the narrow valley to the cavern of the bees. At the dark entrance she explained where she was going to take them, and Swart Hendrik translated for those who could not understand Afrikaans. "There is no danger if you remain calm and do not run." But when they heard the deep hum resound through the cavern, the labourers backed out hurriedly, threw down their loads, and gathered into a mutinous, sullen bunch.
"Swart Hendrik, tell them they have a choice,"
Sun Tan ordered. "They can either follow me through, or you will shoot them one at a time." Hendrik repeated this with such relish, and unslung his Mauser in such workmanlike fashion, that they hurriedly gathered up their loads again and crowded up behind Sun Tan. As always, the transit of the cavern was nerve-wracking but swift, and as they filed out into the secret valley, the moon was silvering the Mongongo grove and polishing the high surrounding cliffs.
"There is much work to do, and we will live here in this valley until it is finished. That way you will only have to pass through the place of the bees one more time. This is when we live."
Abraham Abrahams had instructed Sun Tan in every aspect of pegging a mining claim. He had written out a sample notice for her and showed her how to set it up. With a steel measuring tape, he had demonstrated the trick of squaring a claim across the diagonals and how to overlap each claim slightly so that there were no holes to give a claim jumper a toehold. Still, it was hot, exhausting, and monotonous work. Even with the four labourers and Swart Hendrik to help her, Sun Tan had to make every measurement herself and write out each claim notice and attach it to the claim posts of Mongongo timber that they had set up ahead of her. At dusk, every evening, Sun Tan dragged herself wearily down to the thermal pool in the subterranean grotto and soaked away her sweat and the aches of her body in the steaming waters. She was already starting to feel the drag of her advancing pregnancy. She was bigger this time, and it seemed harder and more wearing than Shasa's pregnancy had been, almost as though the fetus sensed her feeling towards it and was responding vindictively. Her back ached particularly viciously, and by the end of the ninth day she knew that she could not continue much longer without a rest. However, the bottom land of the valley was criss-crossed with neat lines of claim pegs, each standing on its little cairn of stones. The gang had by now become accustomed to the work, and it was going more quickly.
"One more day," she promised herself, "and then you can rest."
On the evening of the tenth day it was done. She had pegged out every square foot of the valley bottom.
"Pack up," she told Swart Hendrik. "We are going out tonight."
And as he turned away, "Well done, Hendrik. You are a lion, and you can be sure I will remember that on payday." Hard work shared had made them companions. He grinned at her.
"If I had 10 wives as strong as you, and who worked like you, missus, I could sit in the shade and drink beer all day long."
"That is the nicest compliment anyone ever paid me," she replied in French, and found just enough strength left for a short, breathless laugh.